obedient to everything that my word speaks. You cannot pick and choose what you want to be obedient to. It has to be all of my word. And Father God, as we take up the offering right now, let it be a love offering, Father. Let it be where we put our hearts in the offering plate and ask you to change it. And Father, I truly do thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. She wants to sing it. Let her do it while offering's going on. No, amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
I heard heaven singing this as we sang the last song. Could you just close your eyes and just take this in your heart? The tenderness of heaven is wafting through the air. The dewdrops of heaven, his compassion is now here. Let my glory fill your spirit as my presence goes on by. Lift your heart to me, my children. Raise your expectations high. Open up your spirit. Let me show you who I am. Open up your spirit. I am the great I am. For I long to fill your hearts, my children, with more than you can dream. I am the God of heaven. Life won't be as hard as it has seemed. A new day is dawning. I've commanded it be so. My angels are on the scene now, and with you they shall go. Cast aside your worry. Your fears are yesterday. The Lord Jesus comes to tell you, I am the truth and way. So receive my love, my children. Power's on its way. The King of Heaven rides now. Listen to him say, I love you, all my precious, my bride, my tender love. Lift my name to heaven. Receive all of heaven's love.
that song, Reach Out and Touch the Lord. As he goes by, it's going through my spirit right now. I don't know the words to it, though.
As he goes by, you find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is standing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You will find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You will find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by.
Our Father is in the house this morning, and he is walking to and fro. What is it you truly have need of? He wouldn't have had to sing that song if he wasn't here. If you really reach out and touch the Lord, there's some life-changing events happening in your life right now. And you're never going to be the same. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. You know, God is saying, my young people, I am zoning in on you this day. For I have called you to lead the multitude out of the pits of despair and bring them into my heavenly throne room. You will have many experiences of being in my throne room and sitting before my feet. For I will fill you full of myself over and over and over again. Because as you minister to this lost and dying generation, they will zap all the anointing out of you. But as you come back up to the throne room, I will fill you once again. I have not called you to do something you cannot do. I know each and every one of you, and I know exactly what is in you. And I know exactly what I'm going to use you to do. So this day I truly did pass by you. I truly did touch you in a special way. I removed some of the hurts. I took away the pain and the sorrows. And I didn't leave you empty, but I filled you full of my love and my compassion for a lost and dying generation. This is a day I say unto you, my young people, look up. Look up continually, because there's nothing to look down to. Look up to the heavenly throne room. See my angelic host. Know that my Holy Spirit is with you, around about you, surrounding you, keeping you safe from all harm. And as you walk to and fro in my throne room, you will feel the exuberance of heaven. You will receive the power and the might, the fire that consumes heaven. I say unto you right now, you are changed. I have changed, I have rearranged, I have thrown out the garbage, and I only kept the holy. Now, children, you go forth. This is the hour. No more downtime. This is the hour for you to go forth and bring that harvest of young souls in. The enemy has had his heyday. He has stolen many, many lives that he should not have stolen. But I have said enough is enough. It's your turn now. Rise up. Rise up in my might and in my strength. Be the towers that I have called you forth to be. Be the warriors of the Most High God. Worship me in holiness and righteousness. Dance before me as David danced. The dance will set the people free. Teach my people to dance, little ones. Teach them to dance on the fire of heaven. Teach them of my love. Teach them of my son Jesus, who paid the ultimate price so they could sit in heavenly places. You know, God's saying there's a desperate cry out there for help. There's a generation that they're prodigals. They have known the Father, but they went the way of Baal for a season, and now they're crying for help. And he wants you young people to be the ones that answer that cry for help. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. God's also telling me to tell you young people that he's bringing forth every gift that's inside of you. He's magnifying it. And when you start using those gifts, souls will be saved. Lives will be changed. I'm going to do what I'm hearing God say. Andrew and Deanna, would you please come up front? Thank you, Jesus. God has called you to today, and He's setting you both apart for His kingdom. He said you've wasted enough time, given the devil enough time. And today He's pulled you out of that mess. And He's setting you apart for His kingdom. Catherine, will you please anoint him with oil? I don't know if you two know each other or not, but God's telling me to tell you, you'll be working very closely together. And you're not supposed to, you cannot allow the enemy to separate nor divide. You're going to know that you know that you know that you are no longer of this world. But you now belong to the kingdom of heaven. And Tiana, you will find yourself prophesying. You might be eating in a restaurant and all of a sudden you'll just start prophesying. Don't hold it back. Just let God go and just take that anointing that's hitting you right now, Tiana. Just give into that. Just when God starts you to prophesy, don't hold it back. Just give it, for whoever's around about you needs to hear that word. And all the fear and the anxiety that always comes to hold you back, God's taking it out of you right now. There'll be no more fear, no more anxiety, just pure joy. Now, Holy Spirit, just take her deep. Take her deep. Andrew, you know God's voice very well. He's even woke you up in the middle of the night speaking to you. And He said, you are the man of the hour. And He's going to give you words for the young people. They're going to be strong words, words that have wisdom and power and might behind them. And He says, quit holding back. Just give those words forth. For this is the season that you are to step into your ministry and do the things that God is calling you for to do. You know it's time. Now God said, just give it to me right now. Just give it to me right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father God, I break every tie that binds right now. Take her into your heavenly realm, Father. Let the glory of the Father enter in right now. There you go. Just take that, Deanna. Just let him come in right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Can you please lay hands on your son and do the same thing? Just say whatever God's telling you to say. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Andrew, submit to God right now. Let him have you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Thank you, Father. I want you to be praying. These are two, God's telling me they're two leaders. And he brought them from the backside of the desert where we thought they were going to stay. But God's brought them from the backside of the desert. He's brought them put to the forefront. And now he's going to use them. You're going to see their lives changed. You know, God said the mundane is finished in his kingdom. And from this day forth, it's going to be power and glory. And when you think the enemy has you, that's the time he doesn't have you. And you need to start giving God the glory. Let the enemy know that you're not going to fall under his sway. I'm going to go ahead and give this word God gave. It seems out of context right now, but I'm going to give it. I titled it, Whatever the Father Says. God said, there are so many who refuse to sit before me and listen for my still small voice of instruction. They think they have to react. Don't you get up. They think they have to react when in fact they need to step back from the situation until they hear my voice of instruction. Let's read that again. There are so many who refuse to sit before me and listen for my still small voice of instruction. They think they have to react when in fact they need to step back from the situation until they hear my voice of instruction. Man will lead you into traps. My still small voice always leads you into victory. My people need to stop speaking out of their own flesh. They must at all costs speak only what they hear me saying. There is so much at stake here, and the enemy is drawing on your pride to cause you to step into yourself and speak from your flesh and destroy the true works. I have called you to adhere to my words that I speak. I have said in my word that I speak in a still small voice. But so many of you want me to shout it from the rooftops for all to hear. But that is not the way it works out. I'm going to stop there a second. The majority, most of you in here, are just beginning your ministries. And at the very beginning of my ministry, this was the first word that he gave me to read. And he said, I'm always going to talk to you in a still small voice. And he's saying the same thing to each one of you that's beginning your ministry. He's not going to shout it for the world to hear. He's going to speak to you in a still small voice. That's why he calls us to be still, to set before him, so we can hear that still small voice. The reason why a lot of you in here this morning are not where God wants you to be is because you run ahead of God. Not talking about you, Barbara. And you don't sit before God and you don't hear his still small. You don't wait to hear his still small voice. Ran into a situation this last couple days where somebody wanted to hear from God. And I wasn't hearing. I asked somebody else to hear. They weren't hearing. They said, it's a good idea. But that's not what I ask. it could be a good idea, but did you hear God's voice? Then I asked somebody else to listen. They didn't hear God's voice either. And God said, I want this individual to hear my voice for himself. So we need to quit reaching out to other people. We need to learn to sit before God ourselves and hear this still, small voice. Let's take Sister Nancy Willis, for instance. She prophesied, but all of a sudden, one overnight, she's gone. And if you were always leaning on her, wanting to run to her for her to give you an answer from God, she's gone. And you don't know that God's still small voice. Who are you going to run to now? See, you could trust, we could trust Sister Nancy. But who are you going to run to? I'm not saying don't ask for a prophetic word. I'm not saying that. What God is saying, he wants you to learn to hear his still small voice. A lot of times when you hear for somebody else, it's not what they want to hear. And so I'll finish that statement. It's not what they want to hear, so they'll say, well, they're not a true prophet. Or the true prophet did give them a word, and they didn't want to do what the word told them to do, so they messed their own life up, so now they say, well, that prophet twisted things. And I know that God is not allowing me to speak into people's lives like he used to right now, but it's because he wants them to hear his still, small voice. I have a grandson who thinks that I'm Jesus because I hear God's still, small voice. And I keep telling him, he told a pastor that. I said, please quit telling people that. He said, you always know what's going on in my life. And I said, honey, I says, because when I'm talking to you, God just starts telling me things about you. And I'm just hearing God's still small voice, and I tell it to you. Because it's always direction for him. And that's great, you know, that he doesn't pull on me either. God just starts speaking to him. But, you know, that's great that he has such confidence in me. But I said, it's not me, it's the Holy Spirit. So you must always, you know, I'm constantly directing him, because he used to be in a ministry with me when he was younger. And he loved it. We used to travel a lot. And he remembers all that. And he always saw God move, you know, in miracles. And he remembers all that, but he still has this idea that I'm Jesus. But, you know, if we're to be just like Jesus, is that such a bad thing? I mean, we don't want people to think we're Jesus. But we should be so close like him that people would think that. Do you agree with that? But the bottom line is, God wants you to hear his still, small voice. I said I wasn't going to say anything about President Trump, but God spoke to me the other day. I was talking to somebody, and God said, nobody's going to be able to kill my son. And, you know, God, President Trump is God's choice. And I find out people don't like him. I'm sorry, but you have a spirit in you that's not of God, and it wants to come against the man of God and destroy him. All right? And that's the truth. So you have to come to grips with it. I've got something inside of me that doesn't like a man of God. And I've got to get rid of that thing, because if it's coming against God's man of the hour, then in one person, and in that same spirit, it's coming against other people in the house of God. You know, this is just a learning curve, all right? All right, let's go to 1 Kings 19. I think I just got myself in hot water, so let's go to the Word. 1 Kings 19:11. Then the Lord said to Elijah, Then the Lord said to who? Elijah, who was a prophet, go stand in front of me on the mountain. I, the Lord, will pass by you. Then a very strong wind blew. The wind caused the mountains to break apart. It broke large rocks in front of the Lord. But that wind was not the Lord. After that wind, there was an earthquake, but the earthquake was not the Lord. After the earthquake, there was a fire, but the fire was not the Lord. After the fire, there was a quiet, gentle voice. When Elijah heard the voice, he used his coat to cover his face and went to the entrance to the cave and stood there. Then a voice said to him, "Elijah, why are you here?" When God spoke to Elijah on Mount Horeb, he could have done so in the wind, in the earthquake, or the fire, but he didn't. He spoke with a still, small voice. You who are just now, I think about everybody in here, you're just now getting into your ministry. God is not going to shout with you. He's not going to bring a fire. He's not going to bring an earthquake. He wants you in his presence listening so you can hear a still, small voice. God said, "I will only speak in a still small voice because I need you to be listening very closely for my voice, and I need you standing close to me in perfect intimacy. You need to shut out the clamor of the world, and you need to bring in my presence. And it is in bringing yourself into my presence that you will hear the slightest whisper from my lips." All right, let's just say, you in here who hear God's still small voice, isn't there times you just hear him sort of whisper as quiet as he can whisper? And you know, you feel his presence, then you finally hear that voice, right? That's an awesome experience. First of all, you feel him, and then you hear him because he's speaking so quietly. God said, "Children, you need to understand that I have always called you to be just like my son, Jesus, and to accomplish the same things my son Jesus accomplished. Read the word. Look what Jesus did. And that's the things that you're supposed to be doing. That's what I did when I was first born again." God said, "Read the red letters. See everything that my son Jesus did. Because that's what I want you to do." And I believe that. And because I believe that, miracles took place. All right? For my son, God said, "For my son to accomplish the things I sent him to earth to accomplish, he had to spend time in my presence, listening for the instructions for each and every day and each and every given situation." See that? You are no different. You must do the very same thing. Let's go back and read that again. "For my son to accomplish the things I sent him to earth to accomplish, he had to spend time in my presence, listening for the instructions for each and every day and each and every given situation." Not just one or two, but each and every situation. You are no different. You must do the very same thing. Question: when was the last time you came to the mountaintop and sat in my presence to get my instructions before making any decision or helping your brother or sister? If you will ask of me, I will give you all wisdom. I will explain even the finest details of any given situation. The other morning I woke up at 5 and I went out to my computer and I read all the emails that people sent me and I did a number of things. 2.5 hours went by and I said, "Oh, by the way, God, good morning." He said, "I've been waiting." But see, 2.5 hours later, I remembered I hadn't prayed. That's bad. The very first thing you should do is pray. Every now and then I'll say, "God, I'm really busy, but good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, angelic host. I'll be back a little bit later. Right now I've got to do something." I have done that on occasions. And he's waiting. But see, I need my instructions for the day. And I need to sit before him to get those instructions. He's not going to give them to me while I'm hurrying and scurrying around doing idle things. I believe with all my heart that the reason why a lot of people have a day that's a mess is because they haven't sat at the feet of Jesus. And they, you know, he hasn't told them today's going to be a bad day. You know? And when that bad day comes upon them, they think, what in the world's going on here? But then on the other note, lately God isn't speaking much. And that bothers me too. You know, I can sit there for an hour. Remember I told you the other day, he says, you might as well get up. I'm not going to talk. I don't know why God's being real quiet right now, but there's a reason, and I'll find out what it is. And my question to him always is, what are you doing with the church? Maybe he's just tired of answering that question. You know? So I really quit asking that 2 days ago. I thought, I'm going to test the waters here and see why he's not speaking every day. All right? So what I'm saying here is, if he's quiet for a day, don't worry about it. He's still with you, and he's still you know, he'll make sure you turn out okay. John 12:44. Then Jesus said loudly, everyone who believes in me is really believing in the one who sent me. Everyone who sees me is really seeing the one who sent me. I came into this world as a light. I came so that everyone who believes in me will not stay in darkness. All right, so everyone who believes in me is really believing in the one who sent me. Who sent Jesus? The Father. Everyone who sees me is really seeing the one who sent me. All right, who are you seeing? The Father. You can get up now. Jesus came into the world as a light. I came so that everyone who believes in me will not stay in darkness. You have to believe in Jesus or you'll stay in that darkness. Isn't that what he just said? I did not come into the world to judge people. I came to save the people in the world. See, he didn't come to judge you. All right? So I am not the one who judges those who hear my teaching and do not obey. But there is a judge for all those who refuse to believe in me and do not accept what I say. The message I have spoken will judge them on the last day. All right, you're getting ready. You're going into your ministries. If people don't believe, want to believe what you have to say, don't worry about it. God's going to judge them for that on Judgment Day. If they try to twist what you're saying and try to make you look like you're the one's the problem and not them, don't worry about it. God will vindicate you. It's not your problem. You're not, you don't, aren't supposed to save them. You're supposed to give them the word. Jesus said, that is because what I taught was not from myself. The Father who sent me told me what to say and what to teach. See, you're supposed to wait for the Father. He'll tell you what to say. He'll tell you what to teach. Brother, and then Jesus goes on to say, and I know that whatever he says to do will bring eternal life. So the things I say are exactly what the Father told me to say. I don't think the body of Christ can say that. I hear too much of the body of Christ putting their own self into conversations. And you need to quit doing that. You only say what God tells you to say. All right? John 5:16. Jesus was doing all this on the Sabbath day. He was doing the healings and everything. So these Jews began trying to make him stop. But he said to them, my Father never stops working, and so I work also. You know, wouldn't it be awful? You know, we're supposed to have the Sabbath if we come in here on Sundays and we couldn't heal. Because we're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. But Jesus said he had to do that. So what do we do? Or like Jesus, we hold the services and we heal also. All right? This made them try harder to kill him. They said, first this man was breaking the law about the Sabbath day. Then he said that God is his Father. He is making himself equal with God. But Jesus answered, I assure you that the Son can do nothing alone. He does only what he sees his Father doing. The Son does the same things that the Father does. The Father loves the Son and shows him everything he does. This man was healed, but the Father will show the Son greater things than this to do. Then you will all be amazed. Who did the healing here? Jesus did it was because he had the anointing from the Father to do it. So if you lay hands on people, whatever happens to them, Jesus is doing it. You are not. You're just a vessel. Jesus went on to say, the Father raises the dead and gives them life. In the same way, the Son gives life to those he wants to. Then John 8:26 says, I have much more I could say. This is Jesus speaking. Anything in red is Jesus. I have much more I could say to judge you, but I tell people only what I have heard from the one who sent me, and he speaks the truth. What did he say? He could judge you, but God didn't tell him to. So that's why he didn't do it. Isn't that what that says? They did not understand who he was talking about. He was telling them about the Father. So he said to them, you will lift up the Son of Man. Then you will know that I am. You will know that whatever I do is not by my own authority. You will know that I say only what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. I always do what pleases him. So he has not left me alone. While he was saying these things, many people believed in him. You know, like I, you know, when God told me to call those two young people up, I hesitated because I didn't know what God was going to do. But so then finally God said, I said to call them up. And see, then I did, and then I was obedient. Then God did what he wanted to do. You don't have to, what I'm saying here is you don't have to understand what God is going to do when he tells you to do something. Your part is to obey. Then it's God's part to carry it through. John 7:14 says, when the festival was about half finished, Jesus went to the temple area and began to teach. The Jewish leaders were amazed and said, how did this man learn so much? He never had the kind of teaching we had. Jesus answered, what I teach is not my own. My teaching comes from the one who sent me. People who really want to do what God wants will know that my teaching comes from God. They will know that this teaching is not my own. If I taught my own ideas, I would just be trying to get honor for myself. But if I'm trying to bring honor to the one who sent me, I can be trusted. Anyone doing this, anyone doing that is not going to lie. So who tells us what to do? The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit tells us what God is telling him to tell us. And this is when God told me, I don't want you to go to Bible school because my Holy Spirit is going to teach you all things. And that was good because I knew nothing. So when I started, I just come up here and I said, it's yours, God, because I don't know what to do. And I never had to do anything because it was the Holy Spirit working through me. See, and this is what too many people do. They're full of pride, and they want to be seen. I've seen people come up here full of pride, and they had a lesson again. They couldn't even give it because it wasn't being led by the Holy Spirit. It was what they wanted. I never give a message that is not given by God. I gave one time because I thought it was a good word. And that thing fell flat as it could fall. Everybody said, that was a really good word, but I knew that it wasn't, you know, it wasn't what God told me to give. There wasn't anything wrong with it, but it wasn't what God told me to give. And I didn't feel the anointing on it, if that makes sense to you. All right, John 3:31. The one who comes from above is greater than all others. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth. He talks about things that are on the earth. But the one who comes from heaven is greater than all others. He tells what he has seen and heard, but people don't accept what he says. Whoever accepts what he says has given proof that God speaks the truth. God sent him, and he tells people what God says. God gives him the Spirit fully. All right, that's what the Word said. Then I said, if you are not specifically sent, and if you are deciding with your brain what to say, you are speaking from yourself and seeking your own glory. All right? To be seeking God's glory, not your own, you must first be sent and then only speak words heard from the Spirit immediately before speaking. In other words, God, you know, just like he does here, you know, he speaks and I give it. Jesus only spoke words, judged and performed works as he was ordered by God. Brother Alan always tells me, he says, I love how you used to just walk around and just talk and lay hands on people and everything. And he made me stop and think about that. You know, because I always prepared a message, but I never used it. The message would be laying up here, but I'd get up here and open up. Then I'd step down there, and then I'd just walk and talk, and I didn't know what I even did. Because of the Holy Spirit took me over and just did what he wanted to do. And we had great signs and miracles. And when I was out evangelizing, the very same thing would happen. I would labor all night over a sermon. And Larry would say, why don't you just go to bed and forget about it? You never use it anyhow. But I had to have that piece of paper in front of me. And I would go in there, and I would stand up there, and my paper would be laying there, and then I'd look at it, and I'd step down, and there I go again. Never, ever. But I never thought about it until Alan brought it to my attention. He said, I loved it when you did that. And I said, God, that's where the ministry already was. I was so dumb, I didn't even realize that. So don't be dumb like me and not realize something. Be watching what God's doing, and just let the Holy Spirit lead you, okay? If you think you're feeling dumb, just come to me and I'll tell you something dumb I did. It'll make you feel good. All right. Am I to be seeking God's glory? Is that where I'm at? Or am I at the scripture? 2 Corinthians 1:1. I, Paul, have been sent on a special mission by the Messiah Jesus, planned by God himself. Paul was sent. It always amazes me how Paul did such great, mighty works, and his disciples, only a couple of the disciples did great works. The rest of them just were there, and they just did small things. But Paul, who wasn't even part of God's ministry, Jesus' ministry, he was so anointed to do such great, powerful things. And this is what, to me, is exciting about the youth, God, this generation, because they're coming in and God's just going to anoint them like they did Paul, and they're going to run around and do all kind of wonderful things. And I'll say, God, it took me 50 years to get that down pat, and they're going to walk in here and just pick it up and go. But that's the way God is. God does what he wants to do. And so you young people might not believe me, but I'm telling you, you're not going to have to labor like we did. You're not going to have to spend hours upon hours on your face for the Lord to get the messages or do whatever God's having. It's just there. It's already there. And he's just waiting for you to say, here I am, Lord. And you guys have done that. And we're just trying to get things ironed out. And so I just think I'm excited about this youth group. I've got the Spirit all over me. I believe it's going to be one of the greatest youth groups in this area. I really do. And you young people who are involved in it, that's me and you, Shirley, and you, Barbara. We're all the young people that's involved in this. We're going to be excited. All right? I'm not going to let you all get all the glory. Come on now. But, I mean, my buttons are, I'm not going to wear any shirt with a button on it because they'll be all popped off, because I'll be so proud of you young kids that how you yielded to God and how God's using you. And I mean that. I don't need to tell you any. I don't like hype people up and I don't like pride. But I'm telling you, God has shown me what he's going to do through you young people. And I'm excited. And I'm glad you're excited too. Okay. So then I said, Paul was sent. If you are speaking and or working for God without being specifically ordered in each and every word and action, you are essentially claiming that your own words and deeds are superior to what Jesus would be if he made his own decisions about what to say and do. In other words, if you're not seeking God's face and getting the word, I sit and labor for hours to get these messages that God gives me. Because I know that whatever I do, if I get up here and God's not in it, we all might as well just stay home. There's not going to be any anointing and no lives will be changed. 1 Thessalonians 3. So when we couldn't stand being separated from you any longer and could find no way to visit you ourselves, we stayed in Athens and sent Timothy, somebody's wanting to visit Paul, I forgot who it was, and sent Timothy to get you up and about, cheering you on so you wouldn't be discouraged by these hard times. He's a brother and companion in the faith, God's man in spreading the message and preaching Christ. And Paul was in a mess, and he was down, and they said, we're in your corner. So, you know, as God starts this new, he's already started this new dispensation, us older people who have been laboring, and we know what the Holy Spirit's all about, we need to be in the young people's corner, cheering them on. Not being jealous because they have the limelight. You know, not being envious because God has anointed them, but we need to be cheering them on. All right? As you continue to read the chapter, you will see that Paul sent Timothy to do more than one thing. So in 1 Peter 4:11, Peter states, if your gift is speaking, your words should be like words from God. If your gift is serving, you should serve with the strength that God gives you. Then it is God who will be praised in everything through Jesus Christ. Power and glory belong to him forever and ever. Amen. See that? If it's really God. A word spoken from the Spirit requires you to hear what the Spirit says to you. All and only words from him are to be spoken. How many of you that do hear from God, you know, and you're led by the Holy Spirit, or sometimes you want to say something so bad? But God won't let you say it. It's not that it's wrong. He knows that that person is not ready to receive it yet. And you want to smack them around the head a couple of times and get it together so I can say this to you. But we can't say what we want to say because they aren't ready to receive it. All right? Jesus said, whatever I speak is just as the Father has told me to speak. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent me, that man is true, and there is no unrighteousness in him. It's in John 12:50 and 7:18. Most everything in God comes down to hearing his still small voice. He is a type of voice that we must get close to so we can hear. I mean, his is a type of voice. That same still small voice is what leads us to change our lives. You know, you don't have to worry, is this God speaking? Because the devil always says one little thing that will throw everything else off. You just know that God wouldn't say that. So, you know, just listen to the still small voice. Listen to how the words are spoken, and you'll know whether it's God or not. At Mount Oreb, God used shock and awe displays to get Elijah's attention, then spoke to him in a still, remember the thunder, lightning, and then he spoke in a still, small voice. Some people say, God never speaks to me, or they ask, how can they hear the voice of God? It's in stillness, not busyness, that we tune our spiritual ears to hear the voice of God. Now, I've always said, and I still say it today, that I can be scrubbing the floor, I can be doing the, you know, washing the toilet, I can be washing windows, and God speaks to me. You know, and I don't have to go and sit in a corner somewhere and make everything quiet. But for you who are just starting out, you need to really sit in the presence of God and listen for that still, small voice. All right? Isaiah 65:1, I've made myself available to those who haven't bothered to ask. I'm here, ready to be found by those who haven't bothered to look. I kept saying, I'm here, I'm right here, to a nation that ignored me. God is saying, I'm here. I'm waiting. I'm listening. Are you listening for my still small voice? This is, you guys are in a generation. Remember, God said, no more religion. It's spirit calling unto spirit. And he means that. He doesn't ever speak anything that he doesn't mean. And I don't know about you, but I got tired of religion about the first year I was born again. And I'm still tired of it. We don't need your religion. What we need is the Holy Spirit. We need him speaking through us, to lead, guide, and direct us. I always say you think you have charisma. A lot of people do have charisma. But I would just soon not have any charisma and stumble over my words and walk in the Spirit than I would be full of pride and have charisma and lead somebody astray. All right? So if you're looking for charisma, that's not what God's looking for. He's looking for you to sit at His feet and listen for a still, small voice. You're Viana, right? God is, when I looked at you and you saw me look back again, God is saying, you already hear His still, small voice of instruction. You just aren't familiar with His voice. And sometimes you question. And God said, quit questioning. Because He is speaking to you and He is giving you direction. He's called you to be a leader. And you need to hear His voice very clearly. So quit doubting and just walk in faith, knowing that He spoke to you right now and saying you do hear His voice. And there's also going to come those around about you who are going to tell you, say to you, who do you think you are? That's okay. You know who you are. You're a child of God. And you know He spoke to you and said you hear His voice. That's all you need to know. And it doesn't matter what they think about you. It gets lonely at the top. It really does. Because people will shun you after a fashion because you're not telling them what they want to hear. And that hurts. And I'm not going to say it doesn't because it does. It hurts. But we still have to follow Jesus. I know Jesus was hurt lots of times. He spent an awful lot of time at the foot of the cross. Well, went to the mountains and prayed to Jesus. I mean, to God. That's going to happen to you. All right, it's going to happen to you. And Deanna, you and Andrew both, you're going to find that people are going to start shunning you because you're not going to be like them anymore. And they want to stay in the boat that they're in. But you two, after today, you're not going to want to stay in that boat because you know you've been changed to rearrange. When God was giving me this, He said what He wants to do today is to wash your ears so that you can hear more clearly what He's saying to you. And there's some of you in here, you need to start listening to what God says instead of your kids or the neighbors or somebody else. You need to start listening to what God is saying and do what God's telling you to do. And some of you even here, you're even all so caught up in, you think everything's fine in your life and it isn't. You're too caught up in the things of the world and satisfying your own flesh. And you're really not hearing the whole truth of God's word. It's distorted. And you need to sit at the feet of Jesus and ask Him to take all that static out so that all you hear is His. And don't call me and ask me if it's God. You do your own homework, all right? I'm serious about that. You know what you're doing, and you know the static is because of what you haven't been obedient to God's voice. So you get it together with God, and you get it taken care of. I'm not going to die, so I'm still going to be here. But I'm just telling you, you need to start doing this for yourself. Because when you're out there in the road, you're going to call me a thousand miles away and say, do you think this is God? No, you don't want to do that. Well, the altar's open, and God wants to wash out, cleanse your ears so you can hear His voice very, very clearly.